Thursday, November 4, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means cashing a World Series MVP ticket. Shout out to Jason Weingartner of Spreadopedia. He was on Gil's show, A Numbers Game, early last week or maybe the week before. I can't remember, just before the World Series started. Mentioned that he liked Jorge Soler at 35-1. And I went ahead and took it. 35-1 MVP ticket cashes. I was up until like midnight staring at my phone after the game had ended, waiting for them to announce it. Always fun to cash those. I went a long time not really cashing long shots. I think 20-1 had been the longest that I'd cashed for a really long time. And that was, I believe, the Giants to win the 2012 World Series. And that was the longest odds that I'd ever cashed. And then just recently, I mean, these past couple of years, I had Lil last year to win Ligue 1. I got, Iga Swiatek 30-1 in the French Open. And now Jorge Soler 35-1 in the MVP World Series. I have Adam Buxa to be top goal scorer in the MLS. He has one more game to go. He needs a brace. He needs two goals to tie. He needs He needs a hat trick to become the leading goal scorer of MLS. I have that at 95-1. 95-1. Best believe. Who knows how much they're really going to play him, being that their playoff position is set. There's really nothing they can do there, but they might care enough about about him possibly getting that award to give him some opportunities. So, that's my next sort of long shot odds that I'm sweating. On to today's show. Mark Duvall joins me for another Better Viewing episode. This one, a grab bag, if you will, sort of. What I like about these types of episodes, I know we've really come to enjoy the movies. We're enjoying Luck at the moment. But one thing I like about the type of episode that we did do today, where we just sort of find scenes in different TV shows, because that's what truly inspired this series. Truly inspired this series of episodes that Mark and I do was realizing, hey, like, gambling pops up in TV, movies, and just little brief scenes. The show's not about it, the movie's maybe not about it, maybe the episode isn't even gambling related, but boom, there's a reference there, there's a scene there. And so I enjoy doing these because it calls back to the sort of the origin of why I wanted to do these with Mark. We cover a couple episodes from the new seasons of Ted Lasso and Rick and Morty. We touch on a couple episodes from the web series The Guild. We also talk about an episode of Disenchantment, as well as a Bounty the paper towel commercial. And then ultimately we have a brief discussion on Squid Game. I think you'll like it. Hopefully you've seen some of these. If not, it's a brief episode, so it's okay. Mark Duvall and I covering a handful of episodes. Enjoy.
Go for it. I'm ready.
All right. Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That. Sir, how the hell are you?
I'm very good, Tim. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I had Jorge Soler 35-1 to win MVP of the World Series. So
really,
I woke up a very happy man.
Nice. Oh, very
I went to
good.
Bed a very happy man because I did not go to bed till I heard the announcement. But
you know, when we met up in Las Vegas, I was telling you how great it is as a sports fan to live on the West Coast, because you don't have to stay up to these ungodly hours to get results for all the games. Sure, you get, the East Coast games, but gosh, anything that starts, like we have plenty of games that start here, after 7 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah.
And, if you want the results, you guys are up past midnight easily.
Okay. A little hodgepodge. Shout out to Shane Meals. A little hodgepodge of shows here, Mark. Next time we'll do Luck episodes 3 and 4. This week we'll be doing some little grab bag. Gonna start with Rick and Morty Season 5, Episode 4. The episode is called Rick Dependent Spray. I'm not going to get too much into the plot here other than how it pertains to pertains to what I'm talking about, because it's kind of a it's definitely has like not childish humor. It has like just gross humor.
It's
involved.
Yeah, it's one of the grossest episodes for sure, without really being gory.
Right. I was overall pleased with the latest season, but this was definitely an episode that I didn't really care for.
Yeah.
But the only reason I included it, and the reason why we're touching on it first, is there was enough Vegas in it that I thought it was worth mentioning here. Even though we try to focus mostly on gambling, there was enough of it where I was like, I kind of feel like we should talk. So these sperm monsters get created. If you haven't seen it, don't like, what are you talking about? Like, if you've seen it, great. If not, just roll with me here. These sperm monsters are created, and they go to Vegas. Like, they're leading them to Vegas. they're being led to. And what's funny is everybody's like, that tracks. Like, there's like several jokes.
Well, of course, sperm monsters. Where else are they going to go? Yeah, that's kind of one of the jokes in the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. Cirque du Soleil's shows humanity gets a drop with a reference that they put on a great erotic performance. So I like that the show's very aware of the reputation that show has.
Yeah.
In the background of many scenes, you see the Luxor beam go up, which I thought was kind of a really nice detail, right? They easily could have left that out and it literally wouldn't have mattered, but I like that they left that detail in. Of course, it's not geographically correct.
No, you know, the episode is full of things that, you know, well, okay, it looks like Vegas, but it's clearly not Vegas.
Right.
And then they'll throw in something like that really is. Or, you know, they'll show the Mirage. It actually says the Mirage, you know, in different things. So they kind of mixed it up.
So we see, like in front of Excalibur, there's these these horse people, which is very on theme for Excalibur, right? And then the monsters fly into a casino. And on the front of the casino, I don't know if you saw this, Mark, the two things Russian roulette and loose slots were the two things that this
casino... Oh, I didn't notice that. Russian roulette and loose slots. That's perfect.
They're advertised on the front of this casino. When they're in a casino, the monsters are flying by some video poker machines. They go outside. They fly by the Mirage, like you said. The banner on the Mirage is advertising... The Sultan of Swoon, the man, the myth, the musical. I don't know what that is.
I
don't know if that's a show I want to see.
Yeah.
the musical advertised there. And then finally, the scene, the episode sort of ends with them at Luxor fighting these monsters. Cirque du Soleil performers and other Vegas stereotypes are like helping fight them. And then the I'm not gonna even spoiler or no spoiler, I'm not touching on how the episode ends, but I watched the whole season thinking, I wonder if we're gonna get a gambling reference this year. We didn't really get a true gambling reference, but enough Vegas there that I thought it was worth
it. I mean, the last third is just all Vegas, so
Also, new season, Ted Lasso season 2 came out recently. I'm still waiting for them to acknowledge sports bettors in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they have not at all, have they? Not even a little bit.
And they've done such a good job at poking fun of or acknowledging just about every other sort of UK England stereotype.
Yeah.
Part of the piece of culture that America, but like, they haven't touched on, and being that this is a show about a sports team, I'm kind of surprised that they haven't, haven't touched on it. But the one gambling reference or one gambling scene that we get is in episode 9 of season 2. The episode's called Beard After Hours. Coach Beard goes on his own little venture for an episode, and he's joined by the three gentlemen that we constantly see at the bar, you know, watching the game. They go out with him. They go to a really nice, what you would call it. It's not a club.
It's like a private club.
There we go. Yeah. They sneak their way in. They get in there. And the guys are playing pool with some English folk. And they end up accepting a bet for 20 quid, which I always love it when the word quid gets thrown out there. It's sort of like our version of bucks, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. And There's a bit of a not. There's a bit of a bluff from Coach Beard in like trying to hold face, and he tries to lie about who he is so that way he doesn't reveal that they don't really belong there. He pulls it off. They end up playing pool, and the guys they pull off a nice little trick, no look trick shot to win the first game, and then it goes on. You learn later that they won plenty. So
yeah,
little wager action at the pool table, which is nice because I feel like that's a I feel like, you know, we always talk about easy places for shows and movies to insert some sort of gambling scene. Poker is obviously our go-to, right? Just sitting there playing cards. But I feel like pool is really close to that, right? It's really easy to get a couple people playing a recreational game of pool and put a little money on it, right?
Yeah, that is true. Almost every time that pool is referenced on TV or in a movie, there's a wager associated with it. You don't normally see people just playing pool casually in somebody's home every once in a while, but usually there's some money on the game. Yeah.
By the way, rocking my Do for a Win shirt here. Shout out to the guys at Do for the Win. Thank you.
No.
So Bogan with the theory that Apple's influence on the show might be why, I'm assuming this is in response to why gambling hasn't been brought up in Ted Lasso yet.
That's possible. Sure.
Yeah, it is possible, which is interesting because I'm sure Apple is like a year away from launching their own sports book. So,
yeah, no kidding, right? That's probably what I'm sure. One other thing in that episode as well, too, at the beginning. Yeah. So, Coach Beard is sort of drowning his sorrows at the pub, and the three, you know, fans come up, soccer fans come up. And they're starting to chat with him, and they want to ask him some questions. He says, "Yeah, you can ask me anything as long as you don't talk about the game. They just had a big loss."
Have you ever been to Vegas?
What's Ted like behind closed doors?
How do you cope knowing the universe is infinite, but your consciousness can end in a second?
I've been to Vegas many times. One night is good. Two nights is perfect. Three is too many. Ted is a man, just a man. And as for the fragility of life, I'm so glad someone finally asked. Because, yeah, I got a few thoughts.
And one of the guys asks, "Have you ever been to Vegas?" And then there are a few more questions. And Beard responds, "I've been to Vegas many times. One night is good. Two nights is perfect. Three is too many." And I mean, that's great. It's a great line. I kind of agree with that. You know, the times that I've gone three nights, it's like, maybe I could have done without that last day trying to get on a plane or get in the car. It's a little rough.
I have gotten to I absolutely agree when you're talking about the recreational part of your trip, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
When there's other things for me to do, I've been to Vegas enough where it's really easy for me to separate the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, once we're in, hey, we're here to party and gamble. Yeah. Three nights, you're like, hoofda.
Exactly. But I understand, like this last trip, you were G2E, the whole last part. And yeah, that's a whole different animal. So
there's a chance that when I go to Zorkfest, that I actually go out a few days early to do something similar. There's no conference or anything, but I might do some like work related stuff. And like in my head, I've thought of it first 3 days, head down, work stuff. And then once that's done, get down and start partying. By partying, I mean sitting at the craps table.
Ordering an IPA, maybe sitting, doing some face up. Yep.
Yes. Oh, Mark, I can't wait.
I know. Oh, yeah. I apologize to all of our listeners because we just can't commit at this point. Dr. Mike, even this last episode, you know, it was later than we intended, but he's had some more tests. It's just, you know, he's exhausted. And anyway, we would love to get out there for Zorkfest. We'll see.
I'm sure I speak on behalf of everybody in the community, though. Awesome to hear you guys putting out episodes again.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. And it's, I don't know when to expect them anymore. So it's like, a new episode.
Here it comes.
All right. Rick and Morty, Ted Lasso, on to The Guild. Now, this is one that I made note of months ago, and I had been holding it for an episode like this, and then when I was preparing for this episode, I was like, wait, have I talked about this? It was so long ago that I made the note that I couldn't remember. I was like, clearly I've spoken about this before.
Okay, yeah.
The Guild was a online sort of web series, maybe like a decade ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put on by, of course, I'm not going to remember her name. Felicia Day is a creator of it, and it's a very nerdy nerdy show. It's about a group of World of Warcraft gamers that are a part of a guild, and they slowly start sort of meeting and interacting with each other in real life. And then it still holds the theme of nerddom and World of Warcraft and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I watched the whole thing. I rewatched it thinking, will I find a gambling reference in this? And I found two, Mark.
Yeah.
Found two. Season two, episodes two and, season two, episodes 9 and 10. And they're very short episodes. They're like 5 to 8 minutes long, very short episodes. The episodes are called Grouping Up and Socializing Sucks. Episode 9, the guys are hanging out, doing a little guys' night in while the women do their own thing. And
yeah, because the game is actually down. They've taken the game. Yes. It's like a two-hour delay. The game is down while
they can't play World of Warcraft.
So they can't play, right, yeah.
Yeah, which is normally what they would be doing.
Do they ever actually say World of Warcraft on the show?
Never.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So you know, it's a you know, multiplayer online role playing game, but they just call it the game, I think. Yeah,
I think they were like, they use a lot of the common, like they use the words paladin and barbarian and stuff that obviously Blizzard wouldn't have rights. But yeah, they don't actually say WoW or World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I think it is just called the game every time.
Yeah.
Blades goes to set up his console and a TV. It's not going to work because it's an old school TV and the console's not working. They learn it's a black and white TV. And finally, Blades pulls out a deck of cards and he's like, how about we macho up and play some poker? And the guys think it's a great idea. And they're like, what site should we log on to? And immediately run to their computers to play online poker. And Blades is like, no, like with the paper cards. Like, so I thought it was funny that, of course, gamers would immediately default to the online version. The final case made for playing online, Mark, was the interface is better, it's cleaner, and we don't have to look at each other. Those were the final case made.
I think a lot of gamers would go for that.
Yes, absolutely. That's,
those are good reasons.
Episode 10, this sort of that storyline sort of drags in and becomes sort of the B story for the entire episode.
Yeah, the episode, it's almost like watching a single episode, right? It just it just picks up where the previous one left off.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. When you're watching it, it'll break and say episode 9, episode 10, whatever, because these were like 5 to 7 minute long web episodes.
Right.
But that, like, when you watch it on Netflix and stuff, like one season's consolidated into one show or like one play, right?
Yeah.
Blade starts listing possible the internet has become a problem. They can't get on it for some reason, and so they're forced to play analog poker.
Blades has actually, so it turns out that Vork was actually stealing internet from his neighbor.
That's right.
And so Blades goes over the neighbor, helps the neighbor encrypt the Wi-Fi, and so it forces, so yeah, suddenly they can't get on the internet. So this is Blade's idea of forcing them to actually play a live game with real cards.
And he starts listing possible games, and he's like, Texas Hold'em, 5-card stud, and Zabu immediately goes, stud, 5-card stud, because we're studs. he immediately drawn to the word stud.
Yeah.
And then they end up playing. Blades thought he could clean up just being like sort of the ringer of the of this, and Vork uses, like, I don't know if the math was right, but it like uses some analytics to like decipher what hand Blades has, and ends up beating him in a big pot.
Blades is real upset. I did the math, but you can't really tell what game they are playing at the end.
Right.
It's
right.
Not stud because they're holding 5 cards, so it seems more like it's draw.
Yeah, I assumed it was draw.
Yeah, and so Zork is saying, well, I knew you had to, you know, get a 4 to make your straight, and I had 3 of the 4s, so you had a 8% chance of getting your straight. And I'm thinking, okay, it's pretty close, except I don't know how many cards everyone's seen. Anyway, I went to the trouble of trying to see, and it was close. So
okay. Well, props to them for being close then on the map, rather than just winging it, right? Yeah. So that's the Guild. If you heard it and you're like, holy smokes, that sounds super nerdy, it is super nerdy. But I will say, if you are that kind of nerd, you will absolutely enjoy this show.
I agree. Yeah. And you know, Felicia Day is sort of the queen of the nerds. She works for Nerdist. She's been very popular with like Joss Whedon and the stuff that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really like that kind of thing, basically online gaming, that kind of thing. Again, this show is about a decade old. Since then, it was sort of a precursor to a couple other shows. One is Mystic Quest, which is on Apple TV Plus, and Dead Pixels, which is a British show.
That one. Okay.
Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy it. Dead Pixels is very funny, especially the first season.
Okay.
Yeah, so check those out as well.
Very good. Moving on to more nerddom in a way, Disenchantment, which was Matt Groening, right? Yeah, Matt Groening's
Groening, but yes.
Oh, is it pronounced Groening?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, my Matt God. You're the first person to correct me, and I'm pretty sure I've been saying it that way my entire life.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Matt Groening of Simpsons, Futurama, animation everywhere fame. This is it's of a sort of fantasy like tale where there's princesses and elves and orcs and stuff like that. If you're a Matt Groening fan, you'll appreciate that it looks like a Matt Groening animation, but I think you kind of have to still be into that kind of subject matter to find it. Like, I was watching it and I was like, I'm entertained because I like this kind of stuff, but I don't think it's entertaining for someone who's not.
Yeah, I agree with you. So if you look at Simpsons, Futurama, Disenchantment, Simpsons, of course, a classic. Futurama is just an incredibly funny show. I mean, really, it is so easy to go back and watch some of these. It's hilarious. Disenchantment, not maybe as enjoyable and funny, although I think it's definitely closer to Futurama than it is to The Simpsons.
Absolutely.
It's just so, but I kind of half-heartedly recommend it, which I think is what you're doing too, just to kind of the general public.
Yeah, right. Futurama, by the way, for as popular and enjoyed as it is, I still think it's one of the more underrated animation shows that we've gotten in my lifetime.
Isn't that funny that it's still underrated?
I haven't met one person who said that they like watched it and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, great.
Right,
show.
Like, yeah, it's anyways. First episode, very top of the episode, the princess is in a card game. She calls an all in using her crown, which I thought was funny. That's how she called the all in, took the crown off her head, and then her opponent has two pair, and she claims to have three me's. She had two princess cards and herself like that. She's like, there's three. And she
counts one, two, me.
Yeah. And then she clearly does it just to create a ruckus because she throws down a beer, hops underneath the table and helps start a brawl inside the tavern. So, but yeah, little poker scene there at the top of that episode. Mark, I can't remember if I mentioned this in our DMs, but I did tweet about it. Bounty just put out a commercial with a slight gambling reference into it.
Yeah.
Guy wins the lottery. They're watching the lottery, the lotto numbers being announced on the television. The guy gets excited. They've won, and he manages to both drop his lotto ticket and then also knock over his beverage at the same time. Because, you know, if there's one thing when I've realized I've won a lot, the first thing I want to do is let go of the ticket, right? Of course, you just want to just throw it as far as you can away from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bounty, I learned that the takeaway from this commercial, Mark, is that Bounty not only can pick up the mess quickly, but you actually have lightning reflexes that allow you to clean up the mess before the liquid can reach your lotto ticket. That's the real takeaway.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, before you even mentioned this commercial, we were watching TV and the commercial came on. And I turned to my wife and I said, why don't they just pick up the ticket? You know, why go for the bounty and try to, you know, prevent the spill from getting to the ticket? Just pick up the ticket.
Yeah.
It's actually a series of ads that Bounty puts out with a similar kind of thing where something gets knocked over and it's about to ruin things. And even though logically they don't make much sense, I have a feeling they're pretty effective ads. They're kind of funny. When the liquid is getting closer to whatever it's going to ruin, you know, there's some suspense.
The part of the episode that, by the way, Jana? How do you think that's pronounced?
Jana.
Jana. Uh-huh. Oh, do you know Jana? You say like as if you...
Yeah, Jana has called into our show many times. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Well, hello, yeah. Jana. Yes, you did catch us live. The part of those commercials that actually like kind of speak to me, the part of like, show me how this actually, like, give me something useful, is when they're showing the piece of the paper towel up against the edge and how it's not laying. That's, I'm like, yes, that's what I need to know. That's what I need to know. Because no one has time to do that big swoop. All we're trying to do is try to keep the liquid from spilling over the side of the counter, right? That's really what we're all trying to do at first. So.
Yeah, it's probably a very effective ad. Well, I would think so because, again, they continue to put out ads, very similar ads to that.
All right. So, Mark, I told you this was going to be a quick episode.
Yeah, we're flying through it.
We're flying through it. We're getting to one that I think is probably going to have a little bit more discussion, though. Squid Game. Squid Game has I'll say in a Tiger King-like fashion, like quickly sort of became this show that everybody was talking about, or it seemed a lot of people were talking about. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those shows I had to watch just to know, right? It was one thing, like, let me watch 10, 15 minutes at least, so I kind of have an idea of like what these people are talking about. And I started watching it, and I enjoyed the first episode, and like I normally do, I decided to cancel the rest of my plans for the next couple of days and just watch this show.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. There's been a lot of chatter around the internet on the accuracy of subtitles, the accuracy of the dubbing, mm-hmm. I don't want to call it controversy, conflict a little bit there on, you know, could have that been better?
Yeah.
Of course, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's a game. It's based on a set of games that participants play, and it's very much like in a Hunger Games fashion. Losing is bad and there's a big prize at the end. How far did you end up making it? I know you said you thought episode 4 was going to be your,
and that was it. So I've seen the first 4. There's 9, I believe, altogether.
Yes.
And I've seen the first 4. And yeah, this is a great example of a show that Netflix really did not promote.
Yeah.
This was a word of mouth success story, and it just shows how great content, and I think it's a good show.
Yep.
You put out great content, it'll find its audience, and really this was all just a word of mouth thing, and it was huge. And yeah, Tiger King is kind of a good comparison, although Tiger King certainly benefited from the very beginning of the pandemic.
Yes.
You know, but quite a phenomenon. I'm through episode 4, so still got a ways to go on those.
I started watching it, and one of the reasons why I committed to watching the whole thing quickly is it opens with the guy at the racetrack.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's going to be gambling in this show. Well, now it's a work thing. Yeah, right. Oh, cancel my plans. I got to do this for the pod. It's for the content,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
I recorded, I think, 5 episodes that have some sort of gambling reference or mention.
Yeah.
Episode 1, we see him at the horse track. This is a he ends up exacta? Is that right?
Gosh, I'm trying to even remember now.
He gets an exacta, I believe. He gets the 1 and 2 horse. I think he gets the exacta right. And okay. I think his friend didn't believe him and it didn't bet. It's one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ends up getting all this sort of money. And then he gets robbed on his way out of the building. And again, people, don't count your money in public places. If you get a lot of money in any situation, do your best to both protect. Now, he was being a nice guy and then got jacked. Like, she, you know, a professional thief got him.
Yeah.
It's not like in California Split where they're just like counting money and being arrogant.
Well, you know, like you said, if California Split and Mississippi Grind and all those films have taught us anything, it's like you said, you know, get to your car quickly. Certainly don't flash the money.
Yep.
Be aware of your surroundings.
Later we see him in a subway I'm gonna try to, because I know a lot of people probably haven't seen this yet. I'm sure it's a show that people kind of have on their list of two.
Yeah,
see.
It's a so, new enough show. Yeah, we can't spoil too much.
Yeah, so I will, even though we've decided to not be so conservative on spoilers, I will in this case. He ends up playing a little game with a guy in a subway. A very odd wager situation. They have two little square pieces. One's on the ground and the other one tries to slam it, like Pogs almost.
Kind of like Pog, yeah.
Yeah, and if it flips, if you get the one on the ground to flip, you win the wager. And if the main character won, he got 10,000
won.
Mm-hmm. And if he lost, he got slapped in the face. Yeah. Let me tell you, Mark. If I was playing a game against someone who I didn't mind roughing up a little bit, no, and I knew I had a little bit of an edge, I might play that a few times to get a couple slaps in.
You, okay, so you would play it if you were the slapper.
Right, right.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm playing. He stuck that out and played it for a while.
Yeah.
You slapped me twice, I'm done.
Yeah, he needed the money.
He did need the money. It's true. I mean, that's definitely the theme of the show.
Yep.
Man, these notes were not as comprehensive. actually, that's it for there's a couple other there's a couple other sort of little nuances, but I won't get into this. Like, I don't want to get too much into the plot of the show. Episode two, another character. That there's casino goons that have come after him, which I thought was, so there's a side character who is away from the game and he's like trying to strike a deal with some other criminals, and they reference the casino and then they send the goons from the casino, and I was like, do casinos have goons? Is that a thing?
I don't know maybe
Episode six, there's a marble game, it brings on an aspect of wagering. Some of the players are end up playing a game where you hold a certain number of marbles in your hand, and then the other person hold an unknown number of marbles in your hand. The other player holds an unknown number of marbles that they're wagering. And then they guess odd or even on the number of marbles in your hand.
Okay.
And if they are incorrect, they give up the marbles they wagered. If they are correct, you have to cough up an amount equal to how much they wagered.
Okay.
So if I have four in my hand and I have, I'm wagering two and I guess even, then you owe me two marbles.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little fun kids game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another set of players end up playing an all or nothing game. One thing I really like about is all or nothing. That's a gambling reference, right? This is something I've been thinking about this for a while. Like, we use it so casually in society that I was like, is there another aspect of life where all or nothing could have rooted from? And I don't think there is. I think it has to come from a gambling.
Yeah, I guess, right? When the term is used in everyday life, it might mean a lot of different things. All or nothing, you know, I kind of think of double or nothing. Certainly, right. Double or nothing is,
yes,
a gambling reference. And maybe all or nothing kind of came from that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah. These are the things I think about, Mark.
Yep.
These are the things I think about. The going on to episode seven, there are some big wigs that are you know, observers of the game. They bet money on this. Something that I thought Hunger Games would have gotten more into, and I we talked about Hunger Games a few months ago about how in a brief moment you can see the odds board, which I thought was a cool little touch.
Yeah,
but then I was disappointed that they didn't actually talk about any of the people in the Capitol or anything actually wagering on the game or on the Hunger Games. But there's a similar dynamic here, and those people are wagering on the game, on the Squid Game. It's actually pretty. I appreciated the banter between these characters on who they're betting on and why one guy's pissed off at one of his characters and stuff like that. So there is a good scene in episode 7 that sort of has this. I think episode 7 might be the best episode of the series.
Okay.
A guy ends up there's a scene where a guy has to choose a penny, like a penny, like you would put, I don't know what else we call them, pennies in like sports. We're like, we call those pennies, but I don't know what they're actually called.
I got you.
It's like a tank top, right? Kind of like a tank top looking thing. Anyways, it has. One guy chooses 7 and he ends up saying lucky number 7 as he's pulling it. I thought that was and then episode 9. Calling back to these people that are like observing and wagering on the game. One guy makes the statement, "You bet on horses, we bet on humans." Which I thought was which was a nice little culmination of the show. Now, you're probably like, you know, it says Squid Games in the episode title, and I know that was a very brief look at it, but again, it's new enough and I know people want to watch it, and to expand on some of those scenes would to give away a few things that are actually a bit suspenseful in the episodes that they're in. So
One additional thing I'll say here is that there's this giant piggy bank that kind of gets filled up with money. And when the money is going in, it is slot machine sound effects. When you listen to it, it's that ding, 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 almost like coins being dropped. And I want to say, at least the first time I saw it, that it really was from a real slot. I'll have to go back and listen to it again.
Okay.
But it definitely has a slot machine sound to it.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. That's I watched all 9 episodes, and I did not pick up on that. but I do recommend Squid Game. I recommend that I recommend watching the first episode, and if you're intrigued, I think you'll enjoy the series.
Yeah, and you know, just a warning that it is violent. So you know, if you do have some trouble with violence, maybe it's not for you. So yeah, they make no qualms about that.
Yep. And I think. That's it. I think that's a wrap. That's and just over half an hour. I think that is among the fastest.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yep.
You were right.
Yep. The only question that I have about Squid Game, I know you haven't watched it yet, but you've seen enough of the games played that I think I can ask this. Philosophically, if you were to actually try to place a wager on this, and don't think about this perfectly, just whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
What is the first type, like how would you try to handicap this at all? Like, I guess like if you were without even talking about which games or anything, you have this big group of people, they have to play this random set of games, and maybe you know what some of the games are, maybe you're not, but like, you know, it's a survival type thing. Like, how would you handicap it? And oh, okay. You already answered.
Well,
I was going to give my thoughts while you give you a chance to think, but go ahead. Well,
I was going to say, you know, when you said survival, in some ways, it's similar to the game Survivor, the TV show, when they go through these physical challenges. And a lot of times the physical challenges favor the young. In some cases, it favors the men if it's, you know, strength related, that kind of thing. In other times, it favors people who are good at puzzles, so you could say the intelligence. I would say, based on what I've seen so far, them being children game, even though they're children's games, it seems to have been more physical. At least the games I've seen have been a more physical thing. So I would, you know, bet on the younger people for sure. Even though obviously in a TV show, you know, I don't know who lives or dies. I'm not even going to say, you know, any of the characters, but you know, it's a TV show. So you're rooting for certain people and, you know, there's probably a good chance those people are going to survive. But if it were real life, well, first of all, I'd call the cops. And then I would think, I think I'll wager on the young people.
There's a literal Squid Game going on in my, my backyard.
Can someone
come look at this? So the same way that I thought about, knowing that it is like a survival of the fittest in a way, right? He said there is some intelligence there, youth and strength clearly has a benefit, but it's almost like you want to find like the person who fits those, but isn't the most of all of those, right? Because they become a threat to everybody else, right? So like a lot, like in the Hunger Games, the District 1 and 2 people were clear front runners, which made them targets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I thought about this as well. Like, it would, who knows how much information you would get for about any of these people before being able to place a wager, but like being able to assess who looks young, capable, and looks like they have a good head on their shoulders that is maybe less obvious than some other ones. So
You know, if I can pull it back to Survivor, the TV show again too, there are a lot of comparisons there, because you could be the smartest, you could be the best at these physical challenges, but yeah, then it puts a target on your back, and it's ultimately a game of, you know, social interaction. And so you'll get voted off if people think that you're a threat, unless you just, you know, you're just a monster when it comes to the physical and the mental.
Yeah.
So, and again, I haven't seen all of Squid Game, but the contestants, they don't know what's coming next. And I don't know what's coming next. And so I don't know what twists and turns are going to be there. So, you know, it's certainly not a perfect handicapping.
The games are, I think, what makes this interesting, because I think they do a good job of being clever about how to survive the game. And that's what I'm enjoying about it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, okay, yeah, good. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it for this episode. A quick one here. Mark and I will be back next month. We're probably going to record a little sooner, I think. So, Mark, if you're okay with this, that way we don't have to worry about the holiday stuff like that. Probably record something directly between, like, just shortly after Thanksgiving. That works. Okay. That's a month from now. That's exactly a month from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back with a month where episodes Luck 3 and 4. I haven't seen them, and I'm assuming since the first two episodes filled up an episode, I'm assuming the second two will again.
I think so too. The more you think. Yeah. And yeah. Okay. Let's do that. 3 and 4 for Luck. Sounds good. Yep.
And then following that, we'll probably hit another pair of movies. It's been a while since we've done some movies.
That's so good. 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 Yeah.
Yep. Mark, thanks for hanging out with me, man. I'm looking forward to doing this again with you. And yep. I hope we'll see you in Vegas next month for Zorkfest.
I hope so too. Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
All right, that was fun. I like covering those sort of random moments where it's like, hey, there's gambling. And as we mentioned, Luck episodes 3 and 4 is what we'll be covering next time. And then we'll start off 2022 covering a couple more movies. I'm glad everybody enjoys these. I always get a positive response when we do these. So I'm glad everybody's enjoying it. Some people have mentioned that Mark doing these regular episodes is what's brought them over from You Can Bet on That over to The Better Life. So welcome all of you. Thank you for hopping on. Hopefully the other content's just as enjoyable. 2021 coming to an end. Couple things happening before the end of the year, though. First of all, I know the update on this November meetup continues to become more dire as the weeks go. Pretty much to the point where I don't think I'm going to Rocky Gap anymore for a number of reasons. The main one being just ended up being a day that no one could really do it. It looks like there's some other things that might compete for my attention that weekend anyhow. So I'm just calling it, not going to be there. Give it my best shot. Where I will be, though, is Zorkfest at the Plaza, December 17 and 18, put on by Travel Zork. And this keeps on, I'm keep on getting more and more excited about this. So the part of it that I am participating in, the Podcaster Potluck and the Better Life live performance, that'll be on December 18 in the afternoon, 1 p.m. local time. Podcaster Potluck will feature Scott of Vital Vegas, Julian of Vegas Confessions, Julia of the Geo Breeze Travel Podcast, and it'll be hosted and sort of featured by the Plaza Pod, the On the Corner of Main Street podcast, with Lisa Melmed will be hosting, and then of course Jonathan Jossel, and I think Gary might actually be on the panel as well. I'm not sure about it, but I know that Lisa's hosting it. And Jonathan will be on the panel as well. It's going to focus on Vegas and through the lens of travel a bit. It's where Julia comes in. Just right there. I mean, there's endless conversations that we could have be had about Vegas. But attendees that are interested in Vegas, both sort of things to do, things not to do, things to take advantage of in town, and just maybe common banter that you might expect from the likes of Jonathan and Scott, you're really going to enjoy this. Following that, it'll be following that 2 p.m. Better Life live performance. There will be up to three guests joining me. I know my inability to be able to confirm all three participants, I know is kind of annoying, but for the sake of being transparent, I'm being honest that I can't confirm a couple of these people. But I also want people to know where the value may, like if you're interested in at least one of these people, I think you'll enjoy it, even if that person doesn't show up, if that makes sense. Those three people are my good friend, Gail Alexander, host of A Numbers Game and host of the Beating the Book podcast. He's a confirmed participant. My better half, Mr. Rosenthal, probably. Looking forward to chatting with Eric. And then Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That is a maybe. It's one of those, if him and Dr. Mike make it out, and they have not been able to confirm that, I don't think we'll know maybe until the week of. But if they're there, if Mark is in town, he will be on that panel. And so depending on the dynamic, and this is where it's going to be interesting, depending on the dynamic, we could have something that talks about, we could be sports betting heavy, we could be casino gaming heavy, it could be a fair balance across the board. What I can tell you is that if you're a gambler, you're going to want to show up, because these conversations with these gentlemen are when I get some of the most insight from them. And a platform like that is where things that maybe don't normally come up might. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's happening. And if you're going to be in Vegas, I can't talk about the specifics yet, but next week's episode, I will. But if you're going to be in Vegas and for some reason you're not going to Zorkfest, you will be able to attend Podcasters Potluck and the Better Life Live performance with a separate admission. More details on that next week, though. That'll bring us to next week's show. Looking forward to it. Lisa Melmed, who I just referred to. She's hosting Podcaster Potluck. She's going to be on the Better Life next week, talking about her experience at Plaza, her experience in Vegas, being in the industry, stuff like that, looking at things through a marketing lens. That'll be interesting. And then also, Michael Traeger will come on and sort of do a preview of Zorkfest. For any of you that have been sort of on the fence, not sure, we're going to hear it straight from the coordinator, the event planner, event coordinator, the origin's mouth, on what it is we can expect at Zorkfest, why you should go, and what's being offered for those who maybe aren't attending Zorkfest, how you can still get into Podcast or Potluck and the Better Life Live. The only thing I'm gonna reiterate about those two programs, the Podcast or Potluck and the Better Life Live, they are going to be recorded. We are going to capture that audio, but they are not going to be immediately released into everybody's feed. In fact, I don't know when or how long it'll take for us to decide to do that. And of course, that being, we want people in the room. And I think there's something, I think we might be able to strike better conversation knowing that it's being had specifically for a live audience and not just a capture and release. That was a weird way of saying capture and release is definitely referring to other stuff, but audio capture and then release into a feed. Okay, that's Zorkfest. Travelzork.com/Zorkfest for information on the rest of Zorkfest, the event. But that's my part of it, so that's the part that I like speaking to. I will be in Vegas December 15th. That's why I'm getting in, and I'll be there, I believe, through the 20th. Right now the plan is for me to get in the 15th, stay till the 20th. I'm at Plaza the whole time. And I can tell you right now, unless there's something truly compelling or really unless there's something that's really going to pull me out of downtown and onto the strip, I'll be downtown the entire time. I'm going to get in. I'm checking in at the Plaza. But as soon as I check into the Plaza, I have nothing to do until I leave other than Zorkfest and gamble. That's what I'm there for. if you're going to be in town early, Zorkfest or not, if you're going to be in town that weekend and you're going to be there for those first couple days prior to, so like the 15th and the 16th, one of those nights, I'm going to wander over to the Legacy Club. I'm going to throw on my smoking jacket. I'm going to grab a cocktail. I'm going to have a cigar. Whether you like cigars or not, you're welcome to come join me for a cocktail. You can, whatever it may be. Just make sure you pack some good shoes. You make sure you sort of dress to impress. They do enforce a dress code going up there. DM me if you're going to be around and you're interested in hanging out with me at Legacy Club one of those nights. I don't know which night it's going to be yet. It'll be the night of the 15th or night of the 16th. 17th is all Zorkfest. 18th is all Zorkfest. 19th is probably recover from a long week in Vegas. And then out the 20th. I think that's it. I think I've covered everything that I need to cover. Thank you for everybody who are participating in Better Santa. Some of the items that are being included or have already started coming in. So I'm really excited about getting ahead of this thing. I should be able to curve the supply chain issues and get everything to everybody. So that way you can put these underneath your tree and enjoy, or however it is you celebrate the holidays. Maybe you're just going to open them when you get them. That's fine too. That form that I'm sending out to people to get an idea, to learn a little bit more about you as a gambler, to know what sort of set of items you might be interested in, that's coming out in the next few days. Bettermerch.com is where you can find merchandise from the Better Life. I do apologize, that is currently not the link at the website. So if you go to my website, thebetterlife.us, click on online store or merch, I think it's online store, it brings you to another page where it has most of the stuff, but doesn't have all the stuff. Bettermerch.com is the website that's being directly updated from my from Shopify, which I use for inventory and stuff like that. So that's the better that's the better website to use. Everything that I said was on sale is still on sale. The hoodies, the I drink and I throw things shirts, those are still on sale. So if you were interested in the Struggle is Real video poker hoodies, those are on sale for $25. The I drink and I throw things shirts are on sale for, I think it's $7.77 for the white shirts and $10 for the black shirts. Those are still, they'll probably remain on sale for the remainder of the month. So that way I can cycle through my inventory while I get some new items in. All right. I think that's it. Looking at my notes here, I'm not missing anything. Talked about Zorkfest, Better Merch, Better Santa, Rocky Gap likely not happening. All but not happening. I can all but guarantee that I'm not going on that on the 19th. And that's it. Good luck, everybody, with all your bets. Good luck at the casino if you head over there. Thank you so much for listening. I truly do appreciate everybody's support. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show with a monthly pledge. I drop new little what we call side bets every day, a little short little episode covering some aspect of gambling or casino or sports betting, something like that. Thank you, everybody, who supports me there. On behalf of Mark Duvall, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.